So now Dhritarashtra is speaking to Sanjaya, and he's explaining that actually he never wanted the war, he never wanted all these difficulties. But unfortunately, due to his attachment to his son, who was bad, all this happened. So, and pointing out that Duryodhana wasn't willing to, get his own gains by his own endeavor, but he had to take them from the Pandavas. So now he's explaining that in doing that, then they made up the gambling match, and the results of the gambling match he will now explain. So it's actually, they also understood that it was because of the gambling match that everything then was destroyed. Hear, O Sanjaya, all that happened thereupon and came to my knowledge. And when thou hast heard all I say, recollecting everything as it fell out, thou shalt then know me to be one with a prophetic eye. When I heard that Arjuna, having bent the bow and had pierced the curious mark and brought it down to the ground, and bore away in triumph the maiden Krishna in the sight of the assembled princes, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Subhadra of the race of Madhu had been after forcible seizure, been married by Arjuna in the city of Dwaraka, and that the two heroes of the race of Rishni, Krishna and Balaram, the brothers of Subhadra, without resenting it, had entered Indraprastha as friends, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Arjuna, by his celestial arrow, preventing the downpour by Indra, the king of the gods, had gratified Indra by making over to him the forest of Khandava, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the five Pandavas with their mother Kunti had escaped from the house of Lak, and that Vidura was engaged in the accomplishment of their designs, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Arjuna, after having pierced the mark in the arena, had won Draupadi, and that the brave Panchalas had joined the Pandavas, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Jarasandha, the foremost of the royal line of Magadha, and blazing in the midst of the shiny, drawn from her person a large heap of cloth, without being able to arrive at its end, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Yudhishthira, beaten by Subala at the game of dice, and deprived of his kingdom as a consequence thereof, had still been attended upon by his brothers of incomparable prowess, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the virtuous Pandavas, weeping with affliction, had followed their elder brother to the wilderness, and exerted themselves variously for the mitigation of his discomforts, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because they figured that when the Yudhishthira lost everything, and they thought that this was so foolish, especially when their wife was insulted, that all the other brothers would get upset and leave him, then there would be no question of the power of the Pandavas. But when he saw that they didn't, they stayed together still, even despite Yudhishthira's the gambling match, then he understood there's no question of success on his. A success meaning that the kingdom will go down through his line, from him to Duryodhana, rather than down through Pandu's line. When I heard that Yudhishthira had been followed into the wilderness by Snatakas and noble-minded Brahmanas who live upon alms, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Snatakas are brahmacharis that have just graduated from Gurukul, and then they travel around to further their education before marriage. When I heard that Arjuna, having in combat pleased the god of gods, Triyambaka, the three-eyed, in the disguise of a hunter, obtained the great weapon Pashupata, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the just and renowned Arjuna, after having been to the celestial regions, had there obtained celestial weapons from Indra himself, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that afterwards Arjuna had vanquished the Kalakeyas and the Palomas, proud with the boon they had obtained, and which had rendered them invulnerable even to the celestials, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. These were a group of demons that they lived under the ocean, and the demigods couldn't defeat them. So after spending time with Indra, then he asked him if he could do this, and so he went and destroyed them, even though the demigods couldn't do it. When I heard that Arjuna, the chastiser of enemies, having gone to the regions of Indra for the destruction of the Asuras, had returned thence successful, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Bhima and the other sons of Prita, Kunti, accompanied by Vaishravana, had arrived at the country which is inaccessible to man, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. That's the Uttarakulus. Means beyond what we see, there's entrance into, because we're at the bottom of Meru. And so then from there it goes up. So Arjuna went up to that border beyond where humans can go or see. But he was stopped there by the Uttarakurus because he said, even if you go in here, you'll see nothing anyway, so you might as well stay here. But they, out of respect for Yudhishthira, they brought tribute to him. So this had never been accomplished by any other king before. So then when that was heard, Dhritarashtra knew that, you know, they weren't doing so good. When I heard that my sons, guided by the counsels of Karna, while on their journey of Goshayatra, had been taken prisoners by the Gandharvas and were set free by Arjuna, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Dharma, the god of justice, having come under the form of a yaksha, had proposed certain questions to Yudhishthira, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that my sons had failed to discover the Pandavas under the disguise while residing with Draupadi in the dominions of Virat, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the principal men of my side had all been vanquished by the noble Arjuna with a single chariot while residing in the dominions of Virat, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Means his whole army was there and they were only fighting a single Arjuna. They weren't fighting an army and they were still defeated. When I heard that Vasudeva of the race of Madhu, who covered this whole earth by one foot, was heartily interested in the welfare of the Pandavas, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the king of Matsya had offered his virtuous daughter Uttara to Arjuna, and that Arjuna had accepted her for his son, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right, so now they have the Panchalas, which is a very, very large kingdom. Then they had Dwarka, which is the most powerful kingdom. And now they have a connection with Virat, who is also another powerful warrior. So the allies of the Pandavas are growing. They're very great. And ones who were allies of the Kurus, then they had already defeated. Yes.
Before also it mentioned for Subhadra, she's like the descendant of Madhu, and also for Krishna. So who is this Madhu?
Who is this Madhu? I'm not sure. But, you know, they are the dynasty of Madhu, means Madhusudan. It's his line. So it's his line and he's in the line. So that's, you know, like that.
Also, before we mentioned that they been a Draupadi during the exile and then she was staying with them, that means she got married to them when they were actually poor. And then some of the Nidushas actually make a point that wife has something happens that wife leaves when somebody was poor. If the wife stays, that means she's a very chaste lady. And she got married to them when they were poor. That means she will never leave them in any circumstance. That was also the Darshan made a point there.
Ah, okay. Yeah. When I heard that Yudhishthira, beaten at dice, deprived of wealth, exiled, and separated from his connections, had assembled yet an army of 7 Aukshahinis, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right? Because you need wealth to assemble armies. So they had nothing, and still they got 7 Aukshahinis. Right? And the Kauravas, with all their wealth, they got, because they had their wealth plus all the wealth of Indraprastha. And they had 11 Akshinis. When I heard Narada declared that Krishna and Arjuna were Nara and Narayana, and he, Narada, had seen them together in the regions of Brahma, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. That's a difficult one. Right? When I heard that Krishna, anxious to bring about peace for the welfare of mankind, had repaired to the Kurus and went away without having been able to effect his purpose, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Karna and Duryodhana, resolved upon imprisoning Krishna, displayed in himself the whole universe, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right, they thought, okay, their strength, the Pandavas, is Krishna. So if you catch Krishna, then, you know, the Pandavas will, you know, then they'll just kind of wither away. But having caught Krishna, then he just revealed his universal form. And then at that time, Duryodhana just decided, that's it, finished, forget it. He's not getting anywhere. When I heard that at the time of his departure, Prita, Kunti, standing full of sorrow, near his chariot, received consolations from Krishna, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Vasudeva and Bhishma, the son of Shantanu, were the counselors of the Pandavas, and Drona, the son of Bharadwaj, pronounced blessings on them, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When Karna said unto Bhishma, so now we're at the battle. Right, so they went out, the Pandavas, even though Bhishma and Drona and all are on up the other side, they went to them and got their blessings before the war that they would be successful, and they got it. Right. So just hearing that, you know, in other words, Dhritarashtra understood the power of blessings of the seniors, so he knew when the Yudhishthira had received that he would win, yes. Yeah. He asked how they could kill them. And they said. Like that. Because they wanted the Pandavas to win. Right? Only Duryodhana and his few people wanted it not to win. When Karna said unto Bhishma, I will not fight when thou art fighting, and quitting the army went away, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Vasudeva and Arjuna and the bow of Gandiva of immeasurable prowess, these 3 of dreadful energy, had come together, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that upon Arjuna, having been seized with compunction on his chariot and ready to sink, Krishna showed him all the worlds within his body, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right? It means this is the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? When I heard that Bhishma, the desolator of foes, killing 10,000 charioteers every day in the field of battle, had not slain any amongst the Pandavas, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. That's chariot, 10,000 charioteers. That means kshatriyas. That doesn't mean the foot soldiers, because the charioteer comes along with his foot soldiers. You know, so there's, I think it's, what is that? Oh, it'll come up. It'll explain exactly what it is. But there's a certain number of foot soldiers, then people on horses, then elephants, then the chariot. There's one chariot and then all this. And so when you say you've destroyed one chariot, generally means that plus all the rest of it. So 10,000, so it's a lot more. It'll be, I think, like five times that, or no more, probably 10 times. When I heard that Bhishma, the righteous son of Ganga, had himself indicated the means of his defeat in the field of battle, and that the same were accomplished by the Pandavas with joyfulness, it means it wasn't difficult. Then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard, well, maybe not difficult means they were successful. When I heard that Arjuna, having placed Shikhandi before himself in his chariot, had wounded Bhishma of infinite courage and invincible in battle, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the aged hero, Bhishma, having reduced the numbers of the race of Shomaka to a few, overcome with various wounds, was lying on a bed of arrows, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that upon Bhishma's lying on the ground with thirst for water, Arjuna, being requested, had pierced the ground and allayed his thirst, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right? Because he did it how a Kshatriya would do. Well, Duryodhana, you know, brought water and pillows and all that, but Arjuna just shot an arrow and brought Ganga water, and he also made a pillow for Bhishma using arrows. When Vayu, along with Indra and Surya, united as allies for the success of the sons of Kunti, and the beasts of prey, by their inauspicious presence, were putting us in fear, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When the wonderful warrior Drona, displaying various modes of fight in the field, did not slay any of the superior Pandavas, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the Maharata, Sansaptakas of our army appointed for the overthrow of Arjuna were all slain by Arjuna himself, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Sansaptakas, there were 25,000 charioteers. Sansaptakas means they make a vow that I will be defeated, I will defeat this person in battle today, or I will be killed. So they get the first right on the battle, right? No one else, even if they're senior to them, can actually challenge first. So that means then they immediately went in and challenged Arjuna. So one would figure 25,000 of them. Then either, you know, 25,000 against one, there might be some, you know, Arjuna might be killed. Or at least that will keep him busy for some time. But he defeated them in the first half of the day, and then after that, then went after, what was his name? Jayadratha, yeah. When I heard that our disposition of forces, impenetrable by others, and defended by Bharadvaj himself, well armed, and had been singly forced and entered by the brave son of Subhadra, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that our Maharatras, unable to overcome Arjuna, with jubilant faces, after having jointly surrounded and slain the boy Abhimanyu, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the blind Kauravas were shouting for joy after having slain Abhimanyu, and that thereupon Arjuna in anger made his celebrated celebrated speech referring to Saindava, it's another name for Jayadratha, because Saindava means, I think, from sin. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Arjuna had vowed the death of Saindava and fulfilled his vow in the presence of his enemies, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that upon the horses of Arjuna, being fatigued, Vasudev released them, made them drink water, and bringing them back, and reharnessing them, continued to guide them as before, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because it wasn't just, you know, they just took some water. They, you know, they created a whole pond for them and a nice, you know, very oasis and very pleasant place that then the horses could, you know, get refreshed and everything. Because the what do you call it? The some saptakas had challenged Arjuna on one side of the battlefield, and Jayadratha was being kept on all the way the opposite side. And then in between, then you have, you know, millions of people, so you have to get through all that. So it's you know, serious. When I heard that while his horses were fatigued, Arjuna, staying in his chariot, checked all his assailants, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Yuyudhana, or the race of Rishni, after having thrown into confusion the army of Drona, rendered unbearable in prowess, owing to the presence of elephants, retired to where Krishna and Arjuna were, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Karna, even though he had got Bhima within his power, allowed him to escape after only addressing him in contemptuous terms and dragged him with the end of his bow, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because Kunti had asked him that there'll always be five Pandavas. Right? Because right now there were six. Yeah, because Karna was also a Pandava. So in other words, Karna could only kill one of them. You know, so that had to be Arjuna. So even though he caught Bhima, could have killed him, he didn't. Also same with Yudhishthira. When I heard that Drona, Kritavarma, Kripa, Karna, the son of Drona and the valiant king of Madra, Shalya, suffered Sandhya to be slain, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the celestial Shakti given by Indra to Karna was by Madhava's machinations caused to be hurled upon Rakshasa Ghatotkacha of frightful countenance, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that in the encounter between Karna and Ghatotkacha, that Shakti was hurled against Ghatotkacha by Karna, the same which is certain to have slain Arjuna in the battle, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Like that was given to kill Arjuna, but it had to be used on Ghatotkacha, so then there was no way for Karna actually to kill Arjuna. When I heard that Drishtadyumna, transgressing the laws of battle, slew Drona while alone in his chariot and resolved on death, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard, like, means if he had died on his own, then the army would be more inspired also, right? But because he was slain in the way he was, that would also demoralize the army. When I heard that Nakula, the son of Madri, having in the presence of the whole army engaged in a single combat with the son of Drona and showing himself equal to him, drove his chariot in circles around them, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When upon the death of Drona, his son misused the weapon called Narayana but failed to achieve the destruction of the Pandavas, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. So even though it was misused, so that was bad because then it's there. But his point is even though it was misused, it still didn't get the job done. Right? Because the Narayana weapon, then, because it's coming from Vishnu, everyone has to be humble. So generally in a battlefield, Kshatriyas always maintain that pride. So they'll always be destroyed by it. But if you just get down on the ground and bow down, then it won't kill you. But, When I heard that Bhimsena drank the blood of his brother Dushasana in the field of battle without anyone being able to prevent him, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the infinitely brave Karna, invincible in battle, was slain by Arjuna in that war of brothers, mysterious even to the gods, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that Yudhishthira the just overcame the heroic son of Drona, Dushasana, and the fierce Kritavarma, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the brave king of Madra, whoever dared Krishna in battle, was slain by Yudhishthira, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success, because it was said that Krishna and, what was his name? And Shalya were, out of everyone, the best charioteers. So the only one, means if Krishna is driving the chariot for Arjuna, the only one that was comparable for Karna was Shalya. So when Shalya was slain, then that means, you know, now chances are getting less. So he doesn't have a charioteer of equalness. He doesn't have the Shakti weapon like this. You don't like that. So it's getting to be quite difficult here. When I heard that the wicked Suvala of magic power, the root of the gaming and the feud, was slain in battle by Sahadev, the son of Pandu, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because also this is how they're being killed, is how it was pronounced at the gambling match. Suvala is Shakuni, like that. Because Suvala, I think, means his father was something to do, I think, with his father's name. Like Suva or something.
Like something.
Yeah, but I think his father's name is Suva or something or like that. So then he's the son of. When I heard that Duryodhana, spent with fatigue, having gone to a lake and had made a refuge for himself within its waters, was lying there alone, his strength gone and without a chariot, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the Pandavas, having gone to that lake, accompanied by Vasudev and standing on his beach, began to address contemptuously my son, who was incapable of putting up with affronts, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because he could have just said, yes, I surrender, but he can't tolerate any insults, so then they knew he would come out and fight. When I heard that while displaying in circles a variety of curious modes of attack and defense, in an encounter with clubs, he means his son, was unfairly slain according to the counsels of Krishna, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that the son of Drona and others, by slaying the Panchalas and the sons of Draupadi in their sleep, perpetuated a horrible and infamous deed, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Because then, even then, Duryodhana and his line wouldn't go down looking good, right? Okay, they had a battle. You know, they lost in the battle, and even then Duryodhana was killed unfairly. So the Pandavas won, but it wasn't so fair. So Duryodhana wouldn't look so bad, the Pandavas wouldn't look so good. But now after this, then Duryodhana and his party is going to look 100% bad, and no one's even going to bother with anything that the Pandavas seemingly did wrong. When I heard that Ashwatthaman, while being pursued by Bhimsena, had discharged the first of weapons called Aishika, by which the embryo in the womb of Uttara was wounded, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Right, because now even their dynasty is being destroyed. Right? When I heard that the weapon Brahmastra, discharged by Ashwatthama, was repelled by Arjuna with another weapon over which he had pronounced the word Sasti, and that Ashwatthama had to give up the jewel-like excrescence on his head, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. When I heard that upon the embryo in the womb of Virat's daughter, being wounded by Ashwatthama with a mighty weapon, Dwaipayana and Krishna pronounced curses on him, then, O Sanjaya, I had no hope of success. Alas, Gandhari, destitute of children, grandchildren, parents, brothers, and kindred, is to be pitied. Difficult is the task that hath been performed by the Pandavas. By them hath a kingdom been recovered, without a rival. Alas, I have heard that the war hath left only 10 alive. That's out of 640 million. 3 of our side, and the Pandavas 7. In that dreadful conflict, 18 Akshahinis of Kshatriyas have been slain. All around me is utter darkness, and a fit of swoon assaileth me. Unconsciousness leaves me, O Suta, and my mind is distracted. Sauti said, Dhritarashtra, bewailing his fate in these words, was overcome with extreme anguish, and for a time deprived of sense. But being revived, he addressed Sanjaya in the following words. After that hath come to pass, O Sanjaya, I wish to put an end to my life without delay. I do not find the least advantage in cherishing it any longer. Sauti said, the wise son of Gavalgana, Sanjaya, then addressed the distressed lord of earth, while thus talking and bewailing, sighing like a serpent, and repeatedly fainting in words of deep import. Sighing like a serpent, I don't know if you've ever seen, when a snake breathes, especially when it's emotionally disturbed, it's very, very powerful. It means the whole body swells and goes. It's very, you know, it's much more than our breathing like that. So when you say that, that means someone is so emotionally, disturbed that the breathing becomes so heavy. Thou hast heard, O Raja, this is Sanjaya. Thou hast heard, O Raja, of the greatly powerful men of vast exertions, spoken of by Vyasa and the wise Narada, men born of great royal families, resplendent with worthy qualities, versed in the science of celestial arms, and in glory emblems of Indra, men who have conquered the world by justice, and performed sacrifices with fit offerings to the Brahmanas, obtained renown in this world, and at last succumb to the sway of time. Such were Saibhya, the valiant Maharata, Srinjaya, great amongst conquerors, Suhotra. It's one of the kings, huh? Rantidev and Kakshivanta, great in glory, Vahlika, Damanda, Saryati, Ajita, and Nala, Vishwamitra, the destroyer of foes, Amvarisha, great in strength, Maruta, Manu, Ikshaku, Gaya, and Bharata, Rama, the son of Dasarat, Shashavindu, and Bhagirat, Kritavirya, the greatly fortunate, and Janamijaya too, and Yayati, of good deeds, who perform sacrifices, being assisted therein by the celestials themselves, and by whose sacrificial altars and stakes this earth with her habited and unhabited regions hath been marked all over. These 24 rajas were formerly spoken of by the celestial Rishi Narad unto Saivya, when much afflicted for the loss of his children. Besides these, other rajas had gone before, still more powerful than they, mighty charioteers, noble in mind and resplendent with every worthy quality. Those are kokils. These are Puru, Kuru, Yadu, Sura, and Vishvashrava of great glory, Anuha, Yuvanashva, Kakutsva, Vimrami, and Ragu, Vijava, Vitahora, Anga, Bhava, Sveta, and Vipada Guru, Ushnira, Satarata, Kanka, Duli Duha, and Druma, Dambodhava, Pada, Vena, Sagara, Shankirti, and Nimi. And this is going to go on. These, O chief, and other rajas we hear, enumerated by hundreds and thousands, and still others by millions, princes of great power and wisdom, quitting very abundant enjoyments, met death as thy sons have done. Their heavenly abode, their heavenly deeds, valor and generosity, their magnanimity, faith, truth, purity, simplicity, and mercy. So these are kings, right? And these are the qualities under which they function, right? Generally, you just think money ties, just kshatriyas are somebody with, you know, just fights. Like, sometimes we see we have this a thing, they'll make a leaves of like a flower, and they'll put the Brahmin there. You know, there'll be some professor writing, you know, some very overly exaggerated mathematical equation on the board. Then next you'll have, you know, a guy in his khakis with an AK-47. You know, and this is the Kshatriya, right? Right? Like that. So, but, you know, then the Vaishya will be this farmer with his farm hat on, sitting on a pile of grain that's about as big as this building, right? That's, they got that one right. Then, the next one, they'll have a Shudra, means they'll have some guy, you know, big fat guy, you know, like that, on one of those jackhammers that they bore the street with, you know, and he's got his stomach on top of it to hold it down, you know, one of those, like that. Not necessarily the, you know, the most refined of Shudras. But this idea that that's this, they just go out and they fight, they kill, they, no, that's not a Kshatriya. That's the people the Kshatriya is engaged to assist them, right? These are the foot soldiers. And that. But here we see is that they have their heavenly deeds, means that they're performing all kinds of very pious activities. Valor, right? That's the thing, not that you can fight or kill. The valor, that makes the Kshatriya. Generosity, magnanimity, they're very, huh? Yes?
Aren't foot soldiers
Kshatriyas? Aren't foot soldiers Kshatriyas? No, they're Shudras. Their assistants too, right? Shudras means those who know the arts used by the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, and they assist them in those activities, right? Just like a businessman, he sells cloth, right? Does that make sense? Now, he has people that sit in the shop and are the salespersons, right? Like when you go into a shop, and there's 50 guys there that all they do all day is take the saris off the shelf and then throw them out, and then take the next one and throw them out. Those are all Shudras, right? Like that. Generally, much of the time, especially in modern shops, you don't even necessarily see the Vaishya. He's the one that organizes it. So the guys that do the marketing, the guys that do the selling, the guys that clean the shop, right? So there may be hundreds of people. But there's only, there'll be, you know, one Vaishya or his family, like that. Does that make sense? So the Kshatriyas also have their arts. So fighting is one of them, you know, maintaining the peace. Also, all the administrators, means all these secretaries, you know, the guys that sit behind the desk and push the papers all day, even though they're in the administration, they're all Shudras. Right? Like that. Your police, your general police, those, they're all Shudras. The officers, they're higher. But like this. And then the Brahmins, they have so many people that assist them. You know, like say you have an Ayurvedic doctor, so the people that, you know, help make the medicine and harvest the herbs or plant the herbs or things like that, you know, like that. Do the massages, these are all Shudras. Vaishyas, you know, who help them preparing the fields, plow the fields, take care of the cows, milk the cows, feed the cows, wash the cows. Does that make sense? Or let us say you have a bank, all the tellers, you know, that sit behind the counter and distribute the money and take your money and do all that kind of stuff. Those are all Shudras. So basically, when you walk out onto the street, all you're seeing is Shudras. Like that. The Vaishyas are, the Kshatriyas, Brahmas are only a few. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Yeah. So it'd be tough to fight, you know, like, you know, you learn a little martial arts in the class, and then you guys sit around in the veranda, you know, in slow motion, kicking each other in the head and doing all these really tough moves. That's what Shudras do, yes. Not what Brahmins or Kshatriyas do, no. Okay. Right? Does that make sense? The real martial artist, you know, he walks down the street looking very ordinary, right? And if somebody, tough guys come up and to bother him, he just kind of goes humble and, oh, excuse me, and goes off. That's the real martial artist. Right? Not the guy who walks around looking to find a fight and, you know, showing off and being tough. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yeah? Faith, right? So that means they're fixed in the Shastras. They have faith. They also follow the Brahmins. How do you say? Truth. You know, that means they'll use diplomacy, but it's only for diplomatic purposes, right? Purity. So that means they're also very good in sadhana. They act according to Shastra. You know, they behave properly. What they speak, they do. That's one of the symptoms of Kshatriya. He says they'll do something, it happens. Right? Simplicity means they keep their life as simple as possible. That doesn't mean not sophisticated, right? Much of the time we think simple means unrefined. No, it can be very refined. It's just as simple as possible. I'll give an example. It's out here. Like when you walk in, you see that there's that drain with the dragon with the yaksha holding him up, right? Now, in some people's minds, that would not be simple. This is not simple living. You have such an ornate, you know, gargoyle for, you know, the water, right? So, but if you look at it, what is it? It's an open drain, right? When it comes to drainage, you don't get simpler than open drains. Why is it simple? Because at any time, with no difficulty, it can be cleaned, right? Anybody can clean it, right? That's simple, even though it's ornate. Complicated means you have a buried pipe under the ground and manhole covers and all this, and it's a complex thing that you can clean it, and you need people that are trained to do that. Does that make sense? So even though the pipe is less sophisticated than the open drain, the drain in this case is more sophisticated, the open drain is actually simple. Does that make sense? Because it doesn't complicate life. Right? In fact, the drain enhances life. By seeing the nice drain, it enhances the finer brain tissues, while a manhole cover never does that. Right? Maybe if it was a, you know, carved silver, you know, manhole cover, maybe, you know, but otherwise. Does that make sense? The difference between simple living and complex. It's nothing to do with opulence. That's why the king, it's very simple. Even though it's very opulent. Right? Does that make sense? And mercy. So they're very kind like that. Are published to the world in the records of former times by sacred bards of great learning. Though endued with every noble virtue, these have yielded up their lives. So he's very upset that his sons have died. So he's pointing out that your sons were okay, but these great personalities before, that all the Kshatriyas mold their lives after, they all died. So why are you so worried about your sons, you know, and family? That means they're going to die anyway. It just happened today instead of tomorrow, that's all. Thy sons were malevolent, inflamed with passion, avaricious, and of very evil disposition. Avaricious means very, how do you say, ambitious, but generally with a negative connotation, meaning that they, you know, through envy and jealousy. Right? Thou art versed in the Shastras, O Bharata, and art intelligent and wise. They never sink under misfortunes. Oh, yeah. Whose understanding are guided by the Shastras. Thou art acquainted, O Prince, with the lenity and severity of faith. So he's saying those who are guided by Shastras, they're never defeated. Sometimes it may appear so, like Yudhishthira and his brothers, but ultimately they're not. You have to always keep this in mind, because some people will say that following the scriptures isn't practical or not important. Right? But it is. This anxiety, therefore, for the safety of thy children is unbecoming. Moreover, it behooveth thee not to grieve for that which must happen. For who can avert by his wisdom the decrees of fate? No one can leave the way marked out for him by providence. Existence and non-existence, pleasure and pain, all have time for their root. Time createth all things, and time destroyeth all creatures. It is time that burneth creatures, and it is time that extinguish the fire. All states, the good and the evil, in the three worlds are caused by time. Time cutteth short all things, and createth them anew. Time alone is awake when all things are asleep. Indeed, time is incapable of being overcome. Time passeth over all things without being retarded. Knowing as thou dost, all things past and future, and all that exist in the present moment, are the offspring of time. It behooveth thee not to throw away thy reason.
Right, so he's bringing out that time is the cause of everything in this world. This time, that's Krishna. It's also known as Sudarshan. So, whatever is your fate, that's what's going to happen, and it will happen in the time that it does. So, one should not lament. One should not become overly disturbed. Does that make sense? So this is goes for everyone. So he's saying this to Dhritarashtra, who just lost 100 sons. So how many of us can come under such calamities? Does that make sense? Therefore, then if it's good for him, this instruction's good for us. That's why in the Shastras, you could give an example with somebody else. They just, got something to eat and dropped the plate on the floor and lost it. So you could say this same lecture, but others would, you might laugh. Why so much over this? So generally what they do is the examples that they choose, which are all real, they choose the most extreme. Because then no one can claim, well, actually, my situation's worse, so this instruction doesn't apply to me. Right? Because the tendency is to take instructions by their face value or the detail rather than the principle on which they're based. Right? Because if you understand, an example is given for the principle. And then, by having that instruction, then even though the detail changes, it's a different situation. Still, you understand how this principle applies in your life, this instruction. Does that make sense? Yeah? Right? You know, just like we say, don't disturb other living creatures, you know, like that. You know, somebody stepped on an ant. So then, you know, you give an example, the ants are there, so they're walking in the road, so you're not stepping on them. So then you think, okay, I was walking here, and I stepped on it with my right foot, but that was the instruction. But the next step is my left foot, and it's in a different place, so if I step on the ants, it doesn't matter. You know? No, you can't step on the ants here. Oh, okay, but I could step on them outside on the path. Does that make sense? No, the principle is I don't bother other living entities, example being the ants. So if I don't bother ants, which is so small, that means I'm not going to bother the birds and anything else that happens to be around. Does that make sense? Yes.
Why is time known as Sudarshan as well?
Why is time known as Sudarshan? Because that's who he is. Time, the wheel of time, that is Sudarshan. He's actually what makes things move and work in this world. Right? Like that. So that's the ultimate weapon, because ultimate weapon kills everybody. So time destroys everything. Like that. Nothing is, you know. So all these great kings, they're all kings of the past. Now notice here, this description being given for those who will understand this. So many kings are mentioned that are there of the past, and they're all gone, but it's done in such a way, because it's presented in the mode of goodness, that it gives inspiration rather than a sense of loss or destruction. Right? Well, you see other authors who are themselves writing their own like histories and all that, then when, you know, certain, how you say, very short personages with hairy toes come across a large lake that is full of such similar previous great kings and warriors, then basically all that's done is perpetuating the mood of destruction and loss. We see the difference? Yeah.
Sauti said, the son of Gavalgana, having in this manner administered comfort to the royal Dhritarashtra, overwhelmed with grief for his sons, then restored his mind to peace. Taking these facts for his subject, Dwaipayana composed a holy Upanishad that has been published to the world by learned and sacred bards in the Puranas composed by them.
Right, so this is an Upanishad, because it's Upanishad gives you the essence, means how this world is temporary and how there's something one should go for higher than this. This is Upanishad. So Upanishad is the essence of the Vedas. So this is actually what's being done. So this is an Upanishad. But it's also interesting to note that Dhritarashtra, being a Kshatriya, then this kind of Shastric explanation gives him solace. Right? Does that make sense? That's important. Because others will say, oh, all this philosophy, I heard that. They just want to enjoy the emotion of being very disturbed. That's there. But with the proper, we see here it was properly done. He is a king, speaking through the way words of kings, giving examples of kings, and that relating it perfectly to himself, then it's done. So whoever it is, if it's properly done according to them, but based on Shastra, then this is what devotees like to hear. It does give them solace. So to say otherwise is atheistic. Like that. Does that make sense? This is such a nice conversation that it's been taken by Vyasadeva and published as an Upanishad. The study of the Bharata is an act of piety. Right? Just by hearing this or studying this, one gets great piety. He that readeth even one foot, that means one of these chapters, right? Dharapada, with belief, right? Not just it's there, but he actually believes in this philosophy, in this culture, that it actually is real. He's not saying, oh, these are analogies and it's not real. Hath his sins entirely purged away, right? So that means one pada, right? We have another page and we're finished with the pada. All your sins are gone, right? You don't have to spend 12 years out in the forest living under a tree, right? You just have to read one pada of Mahabharata, right? And then we're talking about, then there's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is even more powerful, and chanting Hare Krishna. And, one syllable can remove all the sin. This is your sin. All of your sins will be removed by one pada. One syllable of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will remove the sins of the universe. Right? Does that make sense? So, where is the room for an intelligent person to consider that modern morality has any place in connection with this? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. Wherein devas, devarshis, and immaculate brahmarshis of good deeds have even spoken of, right? It means all these persons are glorifying it. Immaculate brahmarshis means the son of Brahma. And likewise, yakshas and great uragas, nagas, right? So even the lower ones are. It's not just the pure demigods, but even also the wild, the more wild personalities of the universe. They also proclaim it. Herein also hath been described the eternal Vasudeva possessing the six attributes. He is the true and just, the pure and holy, the eternal Brahman, the Supreme Soul, the true constant light, whose divine deeds wise and learned recount, from whom hath proceeded the non-existent and existent non-existent universe,
with principles of generation and progression, and birth, death, and rebirth, that hath also been treated, of which is called Adhyatma, the superintending spirit of nature, hath partaken of the attributes of the five elements. That also hath been described who is Purusha, being above such epithets, and undisplayed, and the like. Also that which the foremost yatis exempt from the common destiny and endued with the power of meditation and tapas, behold, dwelling in their hearts as a reflected image in the mirror. So, having said all this, that he's got them out of Maya, now he's actually talking about Krishna. So this is the end of this pada, right? And it's said that this pada and the next pada are the essence of the whole Mahabharata, right? So then we can see that actually Krishna is the essence of the whole point of the Mahabharata. But it gets missed out. Here he says, the creator of the non-existent, that means the spiritual realm, and of the existent non-existent, means the material world, which actually doesn't exist, it's an illusion, but is existing because we're perceiving it, right? And the elements are there, but what we think, what we actually perceive them as, doesn't actually exist, right? So he's the source of both, right? The spiritual, the material, and the illusion of the material. Okay? The man of faith devoted to piety and constant in the exercise of virtue, on reading this section is freed from sin. So even just this pada. The believer that constantly heareth recited this section of the Bharata, called the introduction, from the beginning falleth not into difficulties. Right? You don't just skip here and there, but right from the beginning, right to here. The man repeating any part of the introduction in the two twilights, means morning and evening, is during such an act freed from the sins counteracted during the day or the night. Means if you say it in the morning, everything from the evening. If you say it in the evening, everything from the day. This section, the body of the Bharata, is truth and nectar. So this is actually the main substance of the whole Mahabharata. We saw all the stories were described. As butter is in curd, now he's giving what's essence, right? Brahman amongst the bipeds, right? He says bipeds, he doesn't say humans. Those that walk on two legs, right? Aranyaka amongst the Vedas, right? Because it gives all the metaphysical meanings. And nectar amongst medicines. As the sea is eminent amongst receptacles of water, and the cow amongst quadrupeds, as are these amongst things mentioned, so is the Bharat said to be amongst histories. He that causeth it, even a single foot thereof, to be recited to Brahmanas during a Shraddha, his offerings of food and drink to the manes of his ancestors becomes inexhaustible. Because they're always trying to do a yajna that will give the maximum amount of length of time and results to the forefathers, like that. So then just by reading this at the Shraddha, even if your offerings are simple, it still gives unlimited result. Right?
It means the whole Mahabharata or just this part?
No, a single foot of the Mahabharata. So any pada, like that. But this one especially is because it's that. By the aid of history and the Puranas, the Veda may be expounded. But the Veda is afraid of one of little information, lest he should it. Right? But the Vedas are afraid of someone who's ignorant. They only want to be spoken to someone with intelligence.